Hello, and welcome to the Coach's Corner, a weekly podcast brought to you by the South Florida Chartered Chapter of the International Coaching Federation, where our goal is to engage, motivate, and inspire. In the Coach's Corner, we speak with the great professional coaches of ICF South Florida. We hear about what compels them to coach. We talk about the people they support and the tools and techniques that they use to get the job done. Coaching is a hugely specialized craft, and this inside look at the power and the promise of coaching is both an exploration and a celebration of our member coaches and their talents. Hello, I'm Eric Gorris, a member of the ICF South Florida Outreach Committee and host of the Coach's Corner podcast. Before we get into our conversation, I would like to invite you to visit the ICF South Florida website so you can learn more about our chapter's benefits and program offerings. To learn more, visit icfsouthflorida.org and check out our calendar of events to see what interests you, and then join us as a guest. Just use the promo code PODCAST. Today's guest is life transition coach Nada Haddad. Nada supports individuals who are going through difficult times of change, and she believes that although change can be painful, ultimately it can be highly rewarding. Today she'll tell us about her journey to coaching, open up about what compels her to help others, and Nada will also talk a bit about neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, some of her favorite tools in the coaching toolbox. Nada is a member of ICF South Florida, where she has a seat on the outreach committee and has a hand in both the Step Into Coaching outreach program and a large planning role for the upcoming International Coaching Week. So, without delay, here is our conversation about coaching with Nada Haddad. Hello, Nada. It's so nice of you to be here with us today. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you, Eric. Thank you for inviting me.
It's our pleasure. We're very lucky to have you here. Let's go ahead and jump right into it, Nada. Tell me, how did you become? What was your journey? How did you wind up being a coach?
So how did I become a life transition coach? And it's a question that I've asked myself when I decided to become a life transition coach. And without really knowing it, I realized that I've spent my life in having a lot of transitions, growing up in a country that wasn't the one of my birth, changing schools, cultural conflicts, changing a lot of houses when I was a kid. And all of these gave me a high level of resilience and adaptability, I guess. Even later in my career, I've worked 15 years in the hospitality business, and I left this career after the closure of my restaurant. And I guess at the time, it marked really a major transition point in my life. And since then, I've changed careers twice, and my daughters and husband and I, we move cities every 3 years.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. A new city every 3 years.
Yeah, even a new country.
Where were you before Miami?
Dubai.
How much longer do you have here in Miami?
Probably less than a year.
Maybe they'll move you to Lauderdale and we can keep you in South Florida.
I don't know. We might. We never know.
Hey, you said you moved a lot as a kid. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in France, and I'm Lebanese, and I grew up in France. But I remember moving houses a lot, changing schools. And then we went back a little bit to Lebanon to go back then in France. And then I moved back to Lebanon to study. And then I worked in France. And then I worked in different parts of the world too. So a lot of traveling, a lot of moving. So yes, definitely.
A lot of life transition.
Mm-hmm. And a lot now, actually, a lot of transitions now with my kids and my new my family life, let's say, because When we arrived to the States, it was right before COVID, and it was a period of very high anxiety, let's say, even for all the people that were surrounding me. And like the atmosphere, let's say, was very anxious, which is normal for everyone at the time, right? So I felt that I needed to find a new path, something that was for me. And coaching, which was already something that I had in mind a few years before, it showed me the way, actually. And I remember having this conversation at the time with my husband. And he told me, do you realize that you're in the country of coaching? This is where coaching was born. This is where you should do your take this time to learn this new career. And then the reaction of my close circle made me realize that coaching is not actually for, it's not made for everyone, but that it was for me. So very quickly, within a week, I signed up for an NLP certification and to a coaching school, both remote. And voila. So now I help those who are going through hard transitions, mainly women, I have to say, whether it's a career change or a divorce or becoming a new mom or deciding to become an entrepreneur. I love working and giving the support to my clients during those phases of uncertainty.
I know what you mean. I also, with me, the clients that I work with, when they are in minor, or when they are in trouble, when they have gotten themselves in just a little bit deeper in their businesses than they thought they were going to get into, that's when I really like to provide the support when it really matters. So when you say, at these difficult points of transition, that resonates.
Of course, because you feel that those times you are so overwhelmed and maybe very much into the little things that you don't get the perspective that you need to solve the problem.
I wanted to ask you, so as a life transition coach, what are you seeing as becoming the more prevalent transitions? Like, what are the changes in life that people are increasingly having trouble handling?
I guess it depends on each person. It's very relative to your state of being, your state of mind, how confident you are going through a certain phase in your life. Like for certain women, for instance, becoming a mom is something that is very hard. For other, it's something that comes maybe more naturally. But for other women, it's something where they fear what they need to what's going to happen. They fear that they will not be able to be who they are, or they're going to change. A certain part of themselves is going to change. They're not going to recognize themselves. They fear that they're not going to be good enough. So it depends. It depends on, I cannot say that there is like one transition. How can I say this? We're never prepared to a transition that we haven't decided. So when something big comes to you, like getting fired or a divorce or a separation, of course you get prepared to becoming a mom. That's for sure. You have 9 months. But at the same time, when the baby is here, there's a part of you that is also in the fear and the not knowing and the uncertainty. Yeah, and how you manage this uncertainty and how you recreate maybe a story where you feel that you're back in control and you know where you're going to go and how things are going to happen. Because at the end, this is what we lose, this sense of control, maybe when we are in a phase where we don't know what's happening.
You know, when you're working with someone who's undergoing a life change, a period of difficulty, as a coach, what techniques do you bring to the table? What are methods of work that you do with them to get them through that?
To be honest, it's gonna depend on the stage of the transition they're in. So, for example, if they are in the early stage of the transition and they're overwhelmed by their emotion, then I'm gonna bring other techniques. Let's say, then if they are in the acceptance phase of the transition and ready to build the next chapter of their life. But for sure, however, there are some constants that are where I'm going to use, for instance, the NLP techniques.
Yeah.
Because I feel that, like, really, it's a toolbox that I love using. It's basically, you know, a manual for how the brain works and how we can stretch it like a muscle, mm-hmm. and how it opens to so many possibilities. Let me show you how. Are you ready to do like a small test?
Oh, I'd love it. That would be great. And just to be clear, I mean, before we get started, for the uninitiated, NLP is neuro-linguistic programming.
Yes.
Yeah. And exactly. It's a what would you call it? A school, a set of techniques, a coaching,
it's a toolbox.
a toolbox.
It explores the nature of how we see the world. So neuro is for the brain, of course. Linguistic is the language that you use in your head, so for yourself, your inner talk, but also the language that you use in order to explain something, your perception of how you see the world, right? And the programming, they're the patterns that we run of the behaviors and triggers that cause us to do certain things.
So is it the repeating stories, the loops that exactly. run in our head? Is it that kind of stuff?
The pattern. Like, for instance, now the test that I'm gonna try on you.
Okay.
Okay. So think, for instance, of your phone number. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. And now tell it to me, but backward.
77.
You see how it.
7722929. Yeah, it's hard to do.
Okay, so it's not as easy as it sounds.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So your brain has to create a new neurological pathway to allow you to shift from thinking of it as you always have. So
right.
what happened here, you closed your eyes, you had the image of those numbers in your head.
Correct.
And then maybe you heard the sound of those numbers in your head and start saying them backward.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Correct.
So this is what happens when you're facing a change or a transition. You're faced with a situation. I'm talking about a transition that we haven't expected. Huh? I'm not talking about a transition that you're making or you're deciding to do. So when you are faced with a transition that you don't know, your brain is hugely resistant, like it was now. It's resistant to change. And of course, you add to this all the emotions. So it's hard for you to create new neural pathways.
Because I'm resistant to change.
Exactly. And your brain is not allowing you to, your brain is not helping you, let's say, to go through those changes.
So I'm blocking.
Yes, because it's the more you give a certain pattern, the more you give a certain way of thinking to your brain, and the more it's going to go directly to this type of habit or thinking or action or response, let's say.
So at this point, what's a typical loop? Is it like, oh, I'm so stupid, I'm so stupid, I'm so stupid, those kind of? I mean, is it that simple?
Like if you go, for instance, if you're going through a transition phase, a transitional phase, or something big just happened in your life. So yes, your self-talk is going to be maybe degrading. You're going to be very resistant to what's happening. You're going to be like, let's say you lose your job, okay? You're not going to accept the idea that you're losing your job. You don't want to let go of what you're used to do or the past that you're having. You don't want to let go of the future that you have imagined that you would be having in this company, the stability that you've always thought that you would be. So there's this grief aspect of it, right? So this is the resistance too, because you don't want to let go. You want things to stay the way they are. Change is very hard for us, for our brain to process. And so with this, you mix a lot of emotion, right? So there will be anger, frustration, sadness, fear. And this is where NLP is great, because it really helps break down those resistance.
I see.
If I want to do a metaphor, because I love using metaphors, okay? Let's say that in a big salad bowl, we throw the ingredients that represent a big life transition. Okay?
Very good.
So like we said, you're going to have resistance, right? Negative emotions. You're going to have grief, a feeling of division, introspection, a loss of identity, fear of the unknown, of what's next. So this is in your bowl. This is your all your ingredients of the salad. And then next to it, you have a toolbox. This box, you open it, all here you have all the condiments, the oils, the spices, okay, to do the seasoning. All these represent the NLP tools. So you start doing some anchoring, part integration, visualization, submodalities, reframing. And from all this, So you're going to throw, it's as if you're putting a little bit of olive oil and honey to make it sweet. Or if it's things are too raw or strong or bitter. So all this, from all this, you're going to get a more, let's say, balanced state, a balanced taste of the things. The ingredients will be more aligned. There will be a trust in how this things are gonna go. There's a new we see the salad differently. Like all those emotions, all these beliefs, all those things that were negative. Suddenly, there's something that is shaping that is better, nicer. There's a new purpose, a new meaning. So a new balance. Like all the ingredients. So everything is still here. You have been through all this, but now it's tasting differently and it makes you grow. It makes you move forward differently. I don't know if the metaphor is like you can see the image of it or not.
I love the metaphor. I think it's very well put. Okay. I like it very much. And yes, it's not lost on me that the salad is still there. We're not eliminating the salad. We're not tricking ourselves into thinking that the salad is not there. It is there, but we're processing it. We're working it. We're going through it. And through that process, if I'm getting this right, through that process of processing the salad, at the end, it's still there, but it's more processable. It's easier to adapt to, easier to, at this point, it's more appetizing. It's something we can deal with.
Exactly. It's sweeter. It's nicer.
So then to reapply it then, so now we take someone who's going through a messy divorce and all the emotion and anguish and the.
Yes. So exactly. So at the beginning, you're angry, you're sad, you don't know who you are without your partner. There's a loss of identity. You grieve, like the idea of you being together, the future that you were supposed to that you have constructed in your mind. So all this, and then we use certain techniques that allow you to remove those negative emotions, integrate, like feel more in alignment. There's a tool that we use that is called part integration. That is great. I love it. So, you know, when you feel divided, I want this, but at the same time, there's a part of me who is not allowing me to do this because I feel that. So when you're torn apart, so this part integration puts those two parts to work together because both of them have a purpose that is a benefit to you or positive to you. So we recreate a certain alignment. And so at the end, yes, you have been through this divorce. Yes, all those ingredients are still here. Those emotions are valid and everything. But something new comes out of it that tastes more, that has a taste that you can trust more. A new meaning, creating a new story, because I really believe in the story that we tell ourselves. So the story of the beginning is going to be something, I hate what he did or what she did, or my partner was like this, and it's because of that and this and that. And then the story is like, you know, maybe at the time I could have done this. I guess it was part of me also. I had a responsibility in that. But now I guess it's better for both of us. I've accepted and I'm ready to, I know who I am as a single person, and I believe and I trust in the future that I'm going to build, and I'm open to meet new people, and I want to feel love because I guess that at the time it wasn't the right choice for me, even though. So all the story changes, and the story that we tell ourselves is so powerful that you see the evolution when you work with your client and when you use those NLP tools. You see that the story started with somewhere, and that they took with the evolution, the processing, the tools and everything, they took the learnings from this situation and created something new.
Growth. They've grown.
Exactly.
So then you had mentioned a couple of techniques, reframing, anchoring. These are the cutlery for the salad, right?
No, they're the seasoning. They're the salt, the pepper, the olive oil, the honey, if you need a little bit of sweetness, depending on where the person, the client is, you're going to use this toolbox and adapt adapt accordingly.
This is a change management growth framework for coaching, very different from like leadership coaching, right? Where it's like we're setting career goals and then we're breaking down what do we have to do to attain a goal? How do we break it into steps? How else could we do it? What are the obstacles? What are the opportunities? This is different.
Yeah, it is. It's true. It's completely different. But there are some changes, for instance, that you want to do, but that you're not doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that you have to quit this relationship, or you know that you have to quit this job and it's toxic for you, but you're staying. What is making you stay? What is this part of you resisting? What makes you stay in a toxic environment or with a boss that is treating you this way? Mm-hmm. So these kind of changes too are important, I guess, because it's as if you know that you have to leave. It's not as if you know that you have to leave, okay? But at the same time...
Yeah, well, as you said, change is hard. There's so many people that we know that change has to come, that there's something in their life that is not working. The courage to do that, you know, yeah. It's something
I don't know if it's only a question of courage. And I think there's a lot also the resistance. You know, when you're used to doing things in a certain way, you find also excuses for you to stay where you are. Like, but I know it's going to change, or they promised they would do that, or maybe if I change my attitude, maybe they will accept more, or maybe I will get a promotion, or maybe... So you stay, and you find certain excuses sometimes, right?
Let me ask you a question. So we've talked about how the toolbox of NLP works very well when someone's going through go through rough times. You know, you've talked about the toolbox of NLP to go through a messy divorce or to go through being fired unexpectedly, things we traditionally sort of think as being hard times. To flip it around, how can it be used for, say, slipping into a new situation that's very good? For example, an example like this. Hello, Coach Nada. I just got my dream job. It's a job I've been wanting my whole life, and now here it is. I start next week. How could the NLP toolbox help me transition to that and make the most of that new opportunity?
So if you're very confident with the new adventure, let's say, or the new job that you're having, that's what you're saying, if you're very positive about it, of course, it's going to help you because we all have like our limitations, right? We all have our saboteurs. So it comes in our mind and there are always, and this is unfortunately how our brain also works because it wants to protect us. So it's going to send us also what are the threats that might happen or what are the things I'm not good enough at or I'm an imposter. I'm not going to be. They're going to see that I don't deserve this job, or there's always something that you can always perform better. You can always, even if you're at the top of your performance, I guess sports athletes, professionals, they have coaches all the time. Even if they perform perfectly, they have always saboteurs that come up. But it's true that NLP is very useful to remove, let's say, or to lower the voice of those saboteurs. But also what is very nice with NLP, there's a tool that is called anchoring. And this anchoring a certain state. So we are, because there's a real link between words, states, and neurology. They're all related. So whenever you have you're in a certain state, like I don't know, you feel that you are successful, you're at the top of where you're supposed to be, you're having now a victory, you feel it in your body. So we anchor the state. We do like an anchoring, and whenever you want to go back to this state, you use this anchor, and it brings you back to the state.
And that's like it's a combination of like, if I am getting this right, the anchoring is like tying a visualization to sort of a mechanism to bring you back to that visualization. Exactly. Is that right?
Exactly. To the state.
To the state, right.
But it's true that with NLP, you know, there's a lot of understanding on how the brain files certain things, the filing system of the brain. So where did it go? In which part of your memory? So this one, for instance, something now important, there is important, it comes, it's in the top drawer of your brain, and something that is less important is going to be back. So you see, for instance, the question that I've asked you about the numbers, okay? It was filed somewhere in your brain, the numbers. You have to take it from somewhere. And you had a vision, right? You saw the numbers.
Yes.
I could have asked you, so this is called the submodalities in NLP. So I could have asked you, what are the colors? So
you could have.
It's the picture of the numbers that you had. It's not what's in the picture, but what is the quality of the picture. And when you play with the quality of the picture, let's say I asked you, what is the color of those numbers? Was it black and white? Where did you see them? Far or next to you? Was it big? Was it small? Was it moving? Was it fixed? Those are called the submodalities. So our brain, with those submodalities, you can change. Like,
what if it wasn't in black and white? That kind of thing?
Exactly. Exactly. So what about if you make this picture brighter? What about if you make it lighter? Or what about if you make it bigger or smaller? So you're changing the submodalities of this picture, and so you make it less or more important, or there you anchor a certain state. Or, for instance, if you change the submodalities, and we call this a swish pattern, you change the submodalities. For instance, you love eating cake, okay? I'd ask you, what are the picture of the cake? You see it in your brain. You have maybe the sound of the sound of you eating the cake and everything. We change those submodalities, and we put them, we replace them with the submodalities of something that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. You find yourself to be, you know, we're both ICF coaches, and I know we both, you know, do coaching. You know, we do the ICF coaching thing, the style, the core competencies. But I mean, when you get a new client, is it sort of automatically assumed that it's like, okay, you know, you come to NADA, we're doing NLP work? Or is that it's just another thing there that you could pick up?
No, I don't even say that I'm doing NLP. Client don't know that I'm doing NLP. Like I might say, like, when we are in the phase of, let's say we're in the phase of change and acceptance and creating a new chapter, let's say, we're going to travel in the future timeline. I'm going to ask the clients, for instance, to close their eyes, travel in their future timeline and see themselves in 5 years having this conversation. What are they doing? With who are they? What do they see? What do they hear? How are they feeling? This is NLP, but I'm not going to say to the client, okay, let's do an NLP exercise or two.
Yeah. So you don't signpost. So this is something that, and again, this is a podcast for coaches, right? So we're talking, like, you know, the tools that we use and sort of how we coach, but you're right. This is not something that you share with the client. They don't particularly need to know. All they need to do is see the results.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't even think they're interested to know.
Again, why should they be? That's not their business. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not that it's not their business. That's not their concern. You know, it's like, again, it's never about us, right? It's always about
It's changing the focus. Exactly. The focus should be on them.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. That was extremely interesting. And I know it's a topic many of our listeners are going to be interested in. So thank you for taking us down this journey. Before we go, I just have a couple of questions I'd love to just get your opinion on. One of them is, where can people find out more about you? If they want to, first off, who out there would you like to be working with? Who should we be thinking, a person's going through this, we got to send them to NADA. Who are those people?
Anyone that is going through a big change or wants to make a change, but is feeling stuck.
So those who find themselves going through change, or those who suspect they need to go through change, NADA. Mm-hmm. And where can our listeners find you? Where can they connect with you?
So I have my website, nadahaddad.com. I have my Instagram account that is Nada Haddad Coach. And they can, I mean, they can contact me via my my website, and I'll be happy to meet anyone who's interested. I have a section on my website that I'd like to talk about, actually, that it's called Women in Transition. I've asked women to talk about a certain episode of their life where they went through a big transition. I think that sometimes when we read the stories of others, it can inspire us. So if you're going through a hard transition, maybe one of those stories can like bring you hope or give you tools, understand better how you feel. And so like I told you, I'm a true believer in storytelling. So I love reading those stories. I love adding more stories to this collection. So if anyone is interested in talking about their story of a big transition, please let them write to me, and I'll be happy to send them the questionnaire and talk to them and meet them and maybe share their story too.
Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Thank you
for that. Okay, so before we go, what do you think the future of coaching looks like, Nada?
I guess overall, I'm very positive, or I wouldn't be in this field, right? So I'm very positive about the future of coaching. And I can see a future where working with a coach is something that we do as easily and automatically as taking your car in for service. You know, when you notice that something is off, so with your car, you have no problem. You take it to maintenance or service. So I think it will be the same for us. I know that I have a coach. I'll never stop having a coach. It's something that brings me so much. And I think it's going to be like this in the future. Like whenever we need to recalibrate, shift our perception, our state, build a new beneficial habits, reduce stress. I think it will be something that will be people will have access to more easily, hopefully. And I also think that coaching will start much younger, I think, than it does now. I think it's important to give young adults, you know, the core grounding they need to enter adult life.
Yes.
I don't know, but I don't know if it's the case or not. But when I remember, for me, when I was younger, I know that if I had coaching, like coaching can help young adults see that they get to choose, for example, their mood, that validation is something that comes from within, that confidence is not a fixed thing. It's not a fixed trait, but it's something that you build and that can change. For me, for instance, I used to look at people, I would say like, wow, she's so confident, or he's so confident. I'm not confident. And it's so not the case, because later on I've learned that, okay, I might not be confident in this, but I can build my confidence in this. Suddenly I'm more confident in giving a speech or talking with you on a podcast than I would have been a year ago. So it's something that you nurture, something that that grows. And I think that all those resources, you know, that you don't have when you're young and going through this biggest transition of your life, like moving out of your parents' house, creating a new career, having this pressure, all this,
of course,
is very helpful. And those are beliefs that would help them get through those difficult early transitions, just maybe in a easier way. I don't know. But I guess like everything, it's an evolution. So it's evolving. This career is evolving. This field is evolving.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, the idea that so often coaching is up there at the CEO level, right? Like I'm an executive coach, I'm a CEO.
Exactly. Exactly.
The sooner in someone's life that they are working with a coach, the greater the benefits. And you're absolutely right. I'm frankly, between the two of us and the hundreds of listeners, I will just say I'm surprised that we don't run into more coaches who say, I focus on adolescents, I focus on teenagers, I focus on those leaving high school and going to college or whatever, because it's such an important time and so formative.
It's going to come.
Yeah.
It's going to come. And there is a trend because, you know, if you see, for instance, at all the parenting coaching,
Yes.
It's a huge trend, right? So now it's going to come because maybe you have had like all those new parents that have, and we've always said like there isn't any manual to how to be a parent, but there are a lot of coaches now that explain to you how to be a good parent. So I think that it's going to come that more and more now you're going to have a trend of coaches that are going to say, you know what, I have kids that are adolescents or I have kids that are young adults and I see how hard it is for them and I see how I've helped them and maybe I can help other young adults go through those transitions. So I think it's going to come. I think definitely it will be something that will grow.
Thank you so much for your time today. This has been an excellent, excellent discussion. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. It was really nice talking to you, Eric.
Really nice talking to you too. Thanks, Dada.
What a great conversation. It's always so educational and inspirational to talk with colleagues and learn from their experiences. That's why it's so important to continue to collaborate with others. And that is one of the best reasons to consider working with a certified coach. Working with a certified coach opens a whole new space to learn, grow, and design your future in a way that you want it. To learn more about what coaching is and how it can help you, please visit our website at icfsouthflorida.org. There you'll find educational resources, our events calendar, and our coaches directory. We hope you'll find exactly what you're looking for, and if you like what you see, consider becoming a member. We would love to welcome you to our community. That's it for now. Thanks again for joining us in the ICF South Florida's Coach's Corner. Until next week, I'm Eric Gorris. Take care and be well.